the will of God. Somebody say, the will of God. No matter how old you are sitting in this pews, you can do the will of God. If you've done the will of God before and you've kind of strayed, be encouraged. Just get right back in it again, because the will of God is the will of God, and you are in His blessing when you are in His will. Gideon helped us with that. And I want to, again, reassure and redirect every one of us that the word of the Lord is powerful. His word don't change. It'll never leave us. It is, you can trust it, and you can trust it, and you can trust the word of God. We cannot change that. The commission that He has for every one of us, not just the ministers of the gospel or the leaders, we, the people of God, have to practice the Great Commission. We got to tell everybody that Jesus is their Savior and their Lord of their lives. We can't tell them nothing else. If we do, we're deluding. We're playing games with God. If we share other things that is not of God, Jesus is the way. Amen. Somebody smile at me. Jesus is the way, and He is the truth, and He is the life. And no man can come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. That's the commission. And we can't forget, and we have to focus that that's the work of the Lord. God's commandments, they're difficult, they're hard, they're real, they're precious, they're eternal, they're powerful. It brings conviction. I want to say to you this morning, when God convicts you, it's a good thing. And if there is conviction in your life, that means that He's stirring some things inside of you. God does not condemn. Every good gift comes from above. Conviction is from the Lord. Somebody say amen. Amen. He's the one that's drawing you. He's the one that's pulling you. He's the one that's grabbing you by the hair. For those who have some. He's the one that's stirring things up inside of you. Because He's got a covenant with you. And you got a covenant with God. And those covenants are pure and holy and righteous and sovereign and powerful because they come from the Lord. That covenant is that He wants to put that anointing on you like never before. Pastor, there's no way God can use me. And I'm here to tell you, you are wrong. He'll take you right where you are and start a journey, start an adventure. He said, well, Pastor, I used to do it. Now, you know what? That was from the past. God has something amazing. He's got something new for you. And He wants to restore your faith. He wants to make sure that your faith is strong in Him. You don't like the journey. And you don't like the way He's doing it. But if you hold on, you'll like the results. Amen. I'd like when I took my blood pressure just the other day and it said 127 over 74. When it was 160 over 90-something. Somebody say amen. Amen. Boy, I had to say no to Twinkies and Pepsi and burritos and enchiladas. I like that the sugar levels are going down because, you know, they're all connected. I don't know which comes first, the egg or the chicken, when it comes down to your diabetes or your blood pressure. But figure it out. I've already said to you, if you want to know where to start, go get your blood work. Amen. And it'll tell you exactly where you belong. Half of your problems are going to be solved by hydrating yourself. And fasting accordingly, 14, 15, 16 hours in between will solve a lot of your problems. Because here's what we said to God. Here's what we said to God, right? God, lead us in 2026 with our health and with our peace. Let no one rob you of your joy and peace, because it's from the Lord. That's your gift from God. So as we put a closure to the life of Gideon, understanding the will of God, let's read these portions of verses, because that'll help us bring assurance to you. Why is assurance important to all of us? That is just to confirm that you're doing the right thing. Somebody say, I'm doing the right thing. And you'll know when you're not doing the right thing. And you will know that you're doing the right thing. That is the revelation that God has for all of us. He wants to assure you that what you're doing is the best thing for you. The challenge and the travail and the journey and the hard work, but it pays off as we go forward trusting the Lord and having faith in God. Amen. Father God, this morning, I thank you for every one of your wonderful people who love you dearly. They are hungry for you, Lord. They are thirsty for you, Lord. They want to be used by you. They want to be a vessel. They want to be a temple. They want to be a mouthpiece. They want to be an ambassador for you, Father God. But you'll help us, Lord, by us believers making the right decisions. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So if I can title this message, which I titled it 5 Sundays ago, and here we are still titling it, and that is, how can we determine God's will? Every believer, every Christian believes that they should carefully obey the will of God. Somebody say, the will of God. But how can we know what that will is? We are accustomed to the basics of the will of God. We know some real simple knowing that we're doing the will. Coming to the house of God is a good thing. And I think it is the will of God. Having fellowship, knowing the Bible, connecting with the right people, serving the Lord, being that person that God has called you to be. We know the basics of the will of God. And so Gideon is a lot like us, because once we're ready to make that decision is to follow Jesus, that decision is to change some things in our lives that are keeping us in bondage, because freedom comes from the Lord. And as we read this portion of the Word of God, it begins to make sense that we do that all the time. But it's okay to ask God, God, is this really you? God, is this what I really need to do? Or you can say, God, what do I need to do, God? Give me your insight. Give me your revelation. Give me your wisdom. Give me your knowledge. And you know what? God loves you enough to give it to you. Amen? Let's read this portion of the Word of God. It's found in Judges chapter 6. And I'm going to begin reading in Judges chapter 6, verse 36. So Gideon said to God, now you can easily take Gideon's name out of there and put your name. So Bobby said to God, or put your name on there. If you will save Israel by my hand, as you've said, what God has already said, he put it already in the Word. He already said it. Greater is he that is in you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Yes, I'm testing your faith. Yes, the enemy's real. but I'm more real. So Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you said, look, this is what I want you to do for me, God. How many have tried to bargain with God once or twice in life? Yeah? Man, Lord God, I'm walking into loaf and jugs, Lord. Man, if you let me win that lottery ticket, I'll give the church 90%. Oh, you lying devil. Something like that. But Gideon did it. And you're going to see today that sometimes God uses that like he did here, but not all the time. But we'll get into that as we move forward. And verse 37, and so look, I shall put a fleece of wool in the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it's going to be dry all around the ground, this I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. Second time. God has assured you, and he's answered your prayers, and he said, yes, this is the way. And it's like, I just need more confirmation. I just need more confirmation. I need some better words. Actually, God, I want you to appear to me and really tell me face to face. Then he says in verse 38, and so it was so. When he woke up in the morning, sure enough, exactly what he asked God, there it was in verse 38. Then in verse 39, then Gideon said to God, don't be angry at me. We're going to try this one more time. Let me just speak one more. Let me test, I pray, just one more before the fleece. Let it be dry only on the fleece, but also on the ground. Let there just be dew. And so he got up the next morning, and sure enough, just exactly what he asked. He's been telling us, following Jesus is the best thing you can do. Going forward for the will of God is the best thing you can do. No matter how old you are in the house of the Lord this morning, you can do the will of God. And you can feel good about it, that you're doing His will. So Christians believe, let me say it again, that they should carefully obey the will of God. But how do we know what is the will of God? First and foremost, the bottom line is that we should go about making decisions that honor the Lord. Are your decisions honoring the Lord? That's a good place to start. And you have to be honest. The decisions that I'm making are not honoring the Lord, or the decisions that I'm making are honoring Almighty God. That's a really good place to start. Are we honoring God? So the example of Gideon is sometimes brought to our attention as a model for godly making decisions. And then once we make that decision, right, we act on it. I know you're tired of this illustration, but one more time, you can say, oh, I hope you never use it for another year. I always use the illustration of the two frogs or the frog on the log. Yeah? One made a decision to jump. How many frogs do I have on the log? So if you said there's one, you got it wrong again. But if you said two, you correct. Because all the frog did was make the decision. He hasn't acted yet. You have to first decide, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to be committed. I'm going to be faithful to God. I'm going to work through this. Through the journey, God said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. He said he'll be with me all the time. That's the assurance that we're looking for. And in that journey, he doesn't take us out. He's always there with us. And right in the middle of it says, there's the answer. That's what I've been looking for. Because many of us, we react and we say, it's okay for me to hold the resentment. It's okay for me to hold the pain. It's okay for me to keep the spirit of unforgiveness. Responding means is that we look at the whole package. Is it worth holding on to? And God will tell you it's not worth holding on to. Let it go. Just move forward, knowing that if you hold on to any of that stuff, it's going to bring damage and bondage to our lives. But this morning, God has given us the liberty to go ahead and go forward and say, God, we're ready to do your will this morning. What Gideon carefully considered that the Lord wanted him to rally and attack the Midianites. Listen. The songs that she picked today were songs of courage, because you are a person of valor in the middle of your battles. You are courageous. You're not going to quit. You're going to hold on until you see the answer take place. And then you're going to lift your hands like this and say, glory to God for the wonderful work that you are doing in our lives. So twice Gideon asked the Lord for assurance. Asked the Lord for, is this your will? So I made a special note of the verse that we just read, verse 36 through 40. And I want you to listen to this note because it may minister to you and help you understand where you are right now and why God is asking you to make sure that you prepare yourself for what's coming. And what's coming, listen, what's coming is the anointing of God over your life, that it's His anointing over you. Let me tell you what's coming. What's coming is that you and I have to be an example and look a lot like Jesus, because they're looking for the Jesus of the Bible. Can I say that one more time? They're looking for the Jesus of the Bible, and we say glory to God for that. On the basis of that, special note that I wrote to help somebody here this morning is here. Gideon did not request a sign of the fleece to determine God's will, but to gain a more deeper assurance. Wow, I've got confidence in God. He has never let me down. And I'm here to tell you, He has never let you down. But if we're honest with ourselves, right? We have. So what he was asking for is this divine revelation. How many have heard this before? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God. One of the secrets to all of this is learning to get your thoughts and put them in captivity, and know that your thoughts will lead you either to the promised land or back to the desert. Your thought process is going to lead you to faith or back to fear. Or your thought process is going to lead you to trust or back to worry. And then we bounce back and forth. And we have to kind of step back and let God begin to set up a wonderful journey in our lives that God bestowed upon us, because we know that what's coming up is going to be exciting. What's coming? An anointing over you, and people are going to want to flock to see how, and how did you get that anointing? And you say, I got it from Jesus. Amen? So on the basis of this morning, just got a few more thoughts, and I want to bring this home. People have argued, is this the proper way of making these decisions? By asking God to do this and to do that. So is that an appropriate way to know the will of God? I want you to consider this question. It is so important to note that it happens in certain occasions where God reveals His will to us in that manner. And so we're always looking for confirmation. Is this the right church? Let me tell you why I think this is the right church. Because this church, the name alone should attract people, because the name says new beginnings. You get to have a new beginning, a new start, and you get to plant roots, and you get to grow, and you get to get education, and you get to get more education, and you get to get more education, and you get to get more education, because we're always learning and growing. Somebody say amen to that. We're always learning and growing. So yes, the worth of Gideon's extreme hesitation, doubt, and fear, that makes sense to us. Commitment does. And what hurts commitment is trust. If your trust has been broken or shattered, it's going to be difficult to say, I want to commit again, because we know that, oh, we're going to get hurt in the journey. Let me tell you, the only thing that's going to hurt is the emotions that are not of God. They're not of God. And that's why this morning, this message makes sense to all of us, because the Lord has already told him by not only the angel, the word of God, to confirm him that, hey, you are not the tail, you are the head. You are going to be blessed coming in, coming out. That God wants the best for you. Don't settle for less. Settle for the best that God has for you in Jesus' name. Why is that important? Because faith is about who you trust. Go home with that, would you please? I'm going to say it again. Faith is about who you trust. And it says a lot about you, who you trust. Young kids, I know you're here this morning, and I say to you that putting Jesus first is going to be the key to your happiness. Talk to any of the wonderful sisters and brothers that are just a little older than you, like 50 years older than you. They'll give you the best advice they'll get, and they'll be honest, and they'll be truthful with you. The best thing you can do is follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In light of the facts of what Gideon used to get his assurance, his confirmation, even though at times it demonstrates the lack of faith, just know that he still wants you to be led by him. Even though we request confirming signs, God, is this the place, or is this the relationship, is this the job? And I'm telling you, there's wonderful, wonderful ways of looking at it. I get the honor and the privilege all the time to receive between 10 to 15 calls a week to say, I need some advice. And the first thing I say to them, that if you want to change from the inside out, plant roots. There's no quick fix. Somebody say amen. Amen. There's none. plant roots, water it, watch it grow, watch it produce, watch good seed, help others, and by that time you know it, you'll give God all the glory and all the honor. Let me conclude with this, by asking you this question. Is there a more reliable way to ask God what is His will for my life or for our lives? And I say yes to that. God has clearly told us what He wants to do in the Bible. Example, can you imagine if America would take the advice of God and the direction that America, if America will go back just to the Ten Commandments, how America would flourish and be excited for the things if they would just follow a simple guideline like the Ten Commandments. We kind of just throw them out there. And so we see that it helps us understand our biblical standards. We're looking for biblical standards. Here's another suggestion. Go back to Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I may begin to teach that on Wednesday, some a bit on Sunday after I finish another series. I already completed the notes, how to be like Jesus. I don't know if I'll do them on Sundays or Wednesdays. But the bottom line is that God has given us a standard that comes from Him. The battle is, oh, I'm going to do what's best for me. No, God, You've given us a standard that comes from You. Likewise, one of the New Testament letters in Thessalonians says plainly, this is the will of God. He lays it out so beautiful. So when it comes to making choices in life, Sister Madeline, get yourself ready. Might take you about 5 minutes, but we'll get there. We'll watch you. No. Thank you. Thank you for coming today. When it comes to making choices in life, God calls us for clear thinking that is based on a relationship with Him. Do your best to monitor and secure how holy your brain is. It's going to be crucial. And then you begin to align the values of the biblical standards that are spelled out in the Scriptures. God has made us to think, to discern, to process. A person that assumes responsibility for working through their lives, they'll see wonderful, exciting things in their lives. I found this the other day. It's been sitting on my desk for a month, and I read it every day, but I said, God, is today a good day to read this to Your wonderful people that You love? And it just may minister to one person, and I'm for that. I'm for that. I did a funeral on Friday. Father stood up to speak at daughter's funeral. And His words shook me to the core. He processed His emotions in a very graceful way. But sometimes in life, we take things for granted. Whatever you're going through, honestly, it could be worse. But right where you are, you're going to have to begin to be thankful that God's got you. Because on Friday, my baby girl went flying down. She hurt herself really bad. And I'm upset and I'm angry over how it happened, why it took place. But this man had it 10 times worse than I did. Be grateful. It could be worse. Because we have a brain that can lead us astray. It takes enough energy and effort to either worry or trust. It takes the same. Let's choose trust in God. It takes enough energy and effort to fear or to have faith. Let's have faith in God. And I think when we accept that we're powerless and declare that nobody's going to rob us of our joy and peace, things change for the better. So I title this as I close, Job's Victory in 9 Steps. Y'all know Job, right? You've met him? The Bible says that Job arose and tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell on the ground and worshiped. I believe that God invites whatever's going on in our hearts, that at times that predetermined answers, at time it deepest faith, as we go through some difficult areas that there's no answers, but there's going to be a one-to-one encounter with Jesus. That's what's going to happen. There's going to be encounters with Jesus. You're going to have a revelation with Jesus. God is going to do something inside you that He's never done before. You may not like the journey, but when it's said and done, you're going to say, thank you, Jesus. Job struggled with God because he demanded justification for all of his problems and all of his worries and all of his difficulties. The first step Job did is Job became honest. Instead of complaining about all his difficulties, let's be honest where we are. No more denial. There's a lot of work ahead of us. With God's strength, we can do it. Job rejected defending himself and he began to listen. Holy Spirit, what are you saying? God, what are you saying? Instead of justifying our victim stance. Job's turning point was when he took his heart and bowed before God. God, here I am. Job might have lost everything, but not his relationship with God, because God is eternal. 5, Job became closer with God, and the closer he got, the more he got restored. You want restoration? You got to get closer to God. Job flowed outward and restoration flowed inward. That's how healing happens. And we got to begin to get healed. Job learned when our world sees punishment, God sees refinement. He's refining you. And sometimes we don't like it, but He's refining you to a place, because what's coming? Men and women of valor. 8-step. Job's instruction from God were to pray for his friends who attacked him. You will always have people that attack you. Pray for them. It's their loss. Can you say amen to that? So Job was restored by God through being teachable. And double portion of a renewed joy and influence. Somebody say influence. That's what I remember from your message, Fernando, of excellence and influence. But anybody can quote, but who can let God refine them? Because we all said, Lord, lead us. God wants to make you rich in health and peace. Let no one rob you of your peace. No sickness, no condition, no relationship, no one. In Jesus' name, we receive our peace this morning. Say it with me, I receive my peace.
Receive my peace.
In Jesus' name. Begin to sing that chorus. You can sit, you can stand, you can come to the altar, whatever
Jesus
is in your heart, whatever's tugging at your heart, whatever's going on. This is time between you and God.
All of my days.
Oh Lord.
I want to praise.
We
want
to do your will, Lord God.
Mighty.
Begin with me, Lord. Touch me. Heal me.
My comfort.
Restore us.
My shelter. Tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down. All of my days,
if you need to be filled with the Spirit of God,
the wonders of your mind,
come to the altar and let God heal you in the name of Jesus. If you need healing,
my comfort,
come if you need healing.
My shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath,
come on, let's lift our voices.
All that I am,
oh yes, Lord,
never cease to worship you. Oh, shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound.
Yes, Lord, we thank you for the healing
of your
name. In the name of Jesus.
And I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. And nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Hallelujah. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Let's all lift our right hand towards heaven. God, we first thank you for Jesus. We thank you for all of your commandments that are written in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We thank you for your covenants, Lord God, that you made with the church and everyone that follows you. May our faith be in the commission, the commandments, and the covenants, Lord God. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.